So page 1037, chapter 8, starting at verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open, out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice."
Thank you, Jonathan. And a warm welcome if you're here for the first time. My name is David Durlacher, and thank you for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. I wonder how many of us here have children. I confess I don't, but I sure remember being told something. When I was told something as a child that I didn't want to hear, I would stick my fingers in my ears and go, "La la la, can't hear you." I wonder if you have heard your children saying that, or if you can remember saying that yourself. It's a cracking way of getting out of tidying your room or doing the washing up. I might be a bit more grown up now as I listen to people, but I wonder if we don't do the same thing, albeit a little bit more politely, whether it's in our mid-year review or in the annual health checkup. Show more initiative, we're told. Eat more fruit, we're told. Exercise and lose more weight, we're told. And if you're anything like me, we can be good at selective hearing. This afternoon's passage, Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21, will help us to think through what we listen to and what we do with what we hear. Please keep your Bibles open at page 1037, and it would be helpful also if you could keep in front of you the handout and the two main points as we examine what real faith looks like this afternoon. 2 points: real faith listens, and real faith obeys. We're in the middle of a series of talks in Luke's Gospel, an account of the eyewitness reports of Jesus' life. Last week we looked at the famous parable of the sower who sows the seed representing the word of God as it's preached. The seed is sown indiscriminately so that the word falls on different soils with different results as it's heard. Our passage this afternoon picks up from last week and asks us to think about how we listen to the word of God. It's the only imperative in our passage, and we see it in verse 18. If you look down at verse 18, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." Listening to or hearing Jesus' teaching is not a new subject to this series of talks. We saw it throughout last week's passage that Jonathan took us through. Verse 8, if you have a look back to that. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 12. Those on the path are the ones who hear. Verse 13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. Verse 14, the seed that falls among the thorns stands for those who hear. And verse 15, the seed on the good soil stands for those who hear the word. Listening or hearing, it's the same word in the original Greek, is central to the response of the different soils. Let me say that again. Listening or hearing is central to the response of the different soils. The way in which we listen reveals a lot about us. Which is why this passage is so important, as it helps us to understand what real faith looks like in practice. Verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. The problem for us, if we're not a Christian, is that we largely don't want to listen. I remember coming along to some Christian talks many years ago and remember feeling very clearly that I just don't want to hear this. And perhaps if you're sitting here this afternoon, you might be thinking the same thing. And if so, have you wondered why? For a subject with such a life-changing message, why do so few of us want to listen? Could it be that we believe there is no such thing as absolute truth? That is, after all, the rationale of the agnostic. Let's look at what Jesus says. He continues from the sower of last week's parable to the person who lights the lamp. Verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. It's a bit of a comedy picture, isn't it? Imagine those big oil or gas lamps that you might have to go camping and lighting one up at night so that you can play Scrabble as a family or Tomb Raider 6 or some educational book. How ridiculous. If you covered up that lamp then with a towel or shoved it back in the boot of the car just after you'd lit it, wouldn't that defeat the entire object of lighting it? No, you light a lamp so that you can see. The lamp has another function. Let's look at again at verse 17. There is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. The lamp lights up the dark to reveal the reality. I grew up in one of those old wooden-framed houses where if you lie awake at night, you can hear the beams in the house creaking. It can play havoc with an overactive child's imagination, and it fuels fears about monsters in cupboards and underneath the bed, a whole load of rubbish. But it seemed very real until you switched on the light. The lamp reveals reality. So there is no doubting of what is fact and what is willful imagination. Jesus doesn't allow much room for agnosticism. It's become more and more fashionable to call oneself agnostic these days. I know quite a few people from the office who would describe themselves as such. Brad Pitt had this to say about faith and God. I'm probably agnostic. I don't think anyone really knows. You'll either find out or not when you get there, and until then, there's no point in thinking about it. Or try Angelina Jolie, who, when asked if she believed God exists, said, for some people, I hope so. For them, for the people who believe in it, I hope so. I don't think that there doesn't need to be a God for me. I just don't feel like doing things because people say things. I also don't really know if it's better to just not believe in anything either. Agnosticism comes from the Greek word agneo, or without knowledge. It's the same Greek word which is translated into Latin as ignoro, the root of our word ignorant. But there is no place for ignorance about the claims of Jesus. He's not some remote figure who plays hide and seek. We don't need to achieve some form of special, super spiritual, mystic state in order to hear him. And we don't need to be an academic or have a PhD in comparative theology to have certainty. As we heard last week, the word of God is preached to everyone, and everyone, all of the soils, hears it. No one is left in the dark about what is truth and what is not. And pretending that God has not revealed himself sufficiently for us to have certainty is like the child with his fingers in the ears chanting, la la la, I can't hear you. There is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. There is no place for agnosticism. We are able to hear the clear truth about God, and those with real faith will listen carefully. But we haven't yet fully answered that question, why should we listen? Verse 18, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. The stakes could not be higher. It's not just a case of tuning in. We need to take care how we listen to Jesus, because what we do with what we hear has very real and very lasting consequences. Whoever has will be given more, Jesus says. If we're Christians, we'll continue to grow in our understanding and our maturity as we listen to Jesus' message. It's like a plant being watered. As it's watered, it continues to grow. And that is why we keep encouraging each other to come to church on Sundays or Tuesday lunchtimes to be taught from the Bible week in, week out. As we continue to be taught, as we continue to hear Jesus' words, we grow in our understanding of God's extraordinary mercy to us, his plan for salvation, and what it means to live and follow him. It's not a one-off revelation to then be consigned to the back burner. It's a lifetime's work that we can be engaged in. But if we're not Christians, whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. The reality for the Christian and the non-Christian is laid clear. If we don't believe, there is a real warning here for us. This world is not all that there is, and we want to be careful not to live our lives as if it was. Living in rebellion to the God who made us is a dangerous thing indeed. And the warning here is that even the sower's seed, Jesus' message of salvation, will be removed from those who refuse to listen to it. We need to take care how we listen and what we do with what we hear. You may have heard the analogy, and apologies if you have and I repeat it. But picture two men standing back to back in the center of a huge field surrounded by woodland. As they stand back to back, one man starts to walk away from the other while the other man stands still. The man standing still then turns to the man walking away and calls him, John. The walking man hears the voice and chooses to ignore it. He's busy. He's got things to do. He's got a career to pursue, children to bring up, a pension to plan, a retirement to strategize over. He walks on. Again, the standing man calls, John. By now, the walking man is still further away and the voice is slightly less clear. He can hear still, but what he hears is less distinct. I'm sure I heard someone calling, he says to himself. I think I recognize that voice, but I must get back to what I'm doing. I'll get back to him one day when I'm less busy. Once again, the standing man calls to the man as he continues to walk away. This time, the faint voice is barely perceptible on the wind. Did I hear something? Was that someone calling? By now, he's begun to enter the wood at the edge of the field, and as he enters through the trees, the light grows dim, and he's plunged deeper into darkness. Consider carefully how you listen. Let's move on to my second point. Real faith doesn't just listen. Real faith obeys. Verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." What a shock this must have been to the original hearers, where family was so central to identity. You'd have thought that Jesus' own family, his own mother and brothers, would have understood him most. And even on a spiritual level, the Pharisees would have thought that they were part of God's family because of their position in society and their birthright. But understanding Jesus does not come from birth, but from rebirth through the living and enduring Word of God. As Jesus says in John's Gospel, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Salvation does not come as a genetic right, which would have been the Pharisees' expectation. Nor does it come because someone is born to Christian parents or goes to a Christian school, as helpful as those things can be. No, salvation comes only through believing the Word of God. Taking care how we listen isn't a theoretical or academic exercise. The word that we hear will, by its nature, change us. And that change will be obvious in changed priorities, ambitions, bank balances, conversations. It will be evident in what we do and what we do not do, both in public and in private. Perhaps it is because people don't want to change that we don't want to listen. Listening must lead to action, as agree countless newspaper headlines that urge governments to listen and to act on what they hear. Faith is not passive, it's active. It's based on revealed truth where we can have certainty. Real faith listens to that truth. Real faith obeys what it hears. And it's evident through a changed heart and changed lives. Hearing God's word and putting it into practice through changed lives will become the aim of the Christian. And to what result? See how Jesus calls those who hear and obey. Jesus replied, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Real faith makes us part of Jesus' family. And what greater privilege could we possibly have than that? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you. You speak clearly to us in your word. Thank you. You will reveal yourself to us if we call on you to. Please help us to listen and to act on what we hear. Amen.